Leading off with a big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Who win it now?
All right, really fun first hour that is in the books, lickety-split. Fierce debating going on between me and Phil talking about quarterbacks. It's fun, man. We can do this for 9 more days, and we're going to have the answers to the test.
Yeah.
And if the answer to the test is Spencer Rattler, that's a fail.
If it ends up being Spencer Rattler and he does well, make sure you guys mark down what he just said.
Oh, we're going to play that. They're not going to have to.
You'll go back
and get it yourself. You'll be playing it on a loudspeaker. And we'll circle back to that here in just a couple minutes. You want to come hang out with me and Phil? All you have to do is subscribe to our Denver Sports YouTube channel from now until May 10th to be entered in for your chance to win. Go to YouTube, search Denver Sports, and click the subscribe button. If you win, you get to come have a free lunch with us, courtesy of Brothers Barbecue. They're going to give you a tour of the station, and you can come hang out and watch part of the show live in studio, take some pictures. I'm sure it'll look great on Instagram. Mr. Philip Lindsay, one of the longest tenured and most productive Denver Broncos.
Mm.
He may not be coming around anytime soon. Tom Pelissero from NFL Network reporting this morning, quote, Courtland Sutton did not report yesterday for voluntary workouts as he seeks a new contract, per source. Sutton is going on his 10th starting quarterback in 7 seasons and has only $2 million guaranteed left on his deal. He had 10 touchdowns in 2023, while ranking 56th in targets, end quote. Wasn't too long after that, Mike Kliss jumped on Twitter, said, source confirms, wide receiver Courtland Sutton did not report for Broncos voluntary workouts. Sutton is 23rd among wide receivers in 2024 at $13.6 million. He was tied for 4th with 10 touchdowns in 2023. Kliss notes he was 44th in the NFL in yards. And he has 2 years left on his contract at $13.6 and $14 million, but only $2 million guaranteed, end quote. We found some news about his ankle. We'll get back to that here in a couple minutes. I'm just curious, what are your thoughts about Courtland Sutton? It's voluntary.
Yeah.
But it's also a story as well.
No, it truly is. I wouldn't look too much into it right now because it is voluntary. And even if he wasn't going to get a contract done, when you're a vet, 7, 5, 7, 8, 9 years in the league, you don't want to show up early. You don't want to show up right away. Although Garrett Bowles did show up, and Garrett Bowles is up for a contract and doesn't have anything guaranteed this year.
Great point.
Yeah, yeah. So
Bowles showed up, huh?
It's everybody has a different tactic to what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Everybody's agent tells them to do something different. It all comes down to how the relationship with the agent and the GMs and the coaches are, that they do things like that. For Courtland Sutton, you want your worth because this may be his last big contract, right? He's getting up there. He's getting older. He's been through 10 quarterbacks, all right? He had 10 touchdowns.
Yep.
He was the most consistent player we had on the Denver Broncos on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, probably so, yeah. A skill position player.
You know,
yeah.
He just seen Jerry Jeudy get paid a lot of money, and Jerry Jeudy has not done anything in the league yet.
So true.
Which is just like,
what do you think?
Mind blowing.
No, seriously.
Makes me mad.
What do you think went through Courtland Sutton's head when he saw the news from Cleveland that Jerry got paid what he got paid?
He was probably confused, like trying to figure out how you can go for less yards every single year, not have that many touchdowns, have temper tantrums, and still get paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
More than he got paid. Which is, I mean, it's name of the game, Zach. Like, every receiver is going to help you out, right? Because then all of a sudden, this receiver gets paid a lot of money. I'm better than that receiver, so I'm going to get paid more. The only issue with Courtland is he's already gotten paid, and he's not getting any younger.
Right.
So nobody's willing to pay a lot of money for a receiver that's not getting any younger. On top of that, Courtland still hasn't had that explosive big playability where he's a receiver one. So I'm interested to see what he's really, really wanting. I know he doesn't want to just break the bank. He's not going to break the bank.
No.
But he just wants a little security saying, hey, I'm going to be here for two or three more years. You know, I got a little bit more money in my pocket that's guaranteed. and I'm going to be okay and fine with that. So I see that's probably where he's going with things. And why not? Why not? If I'm your most consistent receiver.
Right.
All right. You didn't like me. You wanted to trade me.
They tried last offseason. Yep.
And they may still try. Why am I going to sit here and play for you for quote unquote free when you didn't even believe that I was going to be as good as I was this year?
Wow. There's a lot to this conversation. We didn't spend a lot of time on the idea of him showing up or not.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about, will he be a Bronco? He basically said goodbye to the fan base.
He did.
On Instagram a couple months ago. He changed his Twitter profile to, you know, what's next. I think he used to say like Broncos receiver or something like that. It's turned into what's next. I'm wondering if he's surprised he's still here. Like if he's legitimately, yeah. Like if he thought in his head that he'd already have been moved by now and upon getting moved gets a new contract. And then it's the question of, do you think Courtland Sutton wants to be here? I don't know. It's a speculative conversation. We are just guessing.
Money talks.
Yeah.
You can be in a bad situation, but if I'm getting paid millions and millions of dollars to be on a bad team, I'm going to take it because at the end of the day, it's what's best for my family. Do I think he wants to be here? Why would you want to be here? Why would you want to be somewhere where you're not going to win, where you're gutting the whole place out? But if you feel like I can get paid the most here,
yeah,
then I'm all on board.
Right, right. What have you done for me lately? Yeah, that's pro sports in a nutshell, isn't it? And he does have a lot of leverage? I don't think so, but he's got a little bit. Because he did go for 10 touchdowns last year, and that's significant.
You know, it really is, but look who you're dealing with. If it was George who gave him his first contract, he'd probably have a contract by now. But you're dealing with Sean Payton, the Grim Reaper, who's trying to figure out things, who does not care about people's feelings, who did want to get rid of Courtland Sutton. And now you're sitting here saying, okay, Sean, do you truly want to give Courtland this money? Are you willing to give Courtland this money knowing that you don't really know what you want with him or where you guys are going right now?
It's a good question with the Sean part because we were looking at this past year and I remember you saying a statement, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but you said something like, this season's about Sean finding out who his soldiers are.
Yeah.
Did Courtland prove he's one of Sean's soldiers? 10 touchdowns is, I mean, dude, that's first of all just hard to do, but the way some of them came were, and I know what you meant, but when you say he doesn't have like the traditional big play ability, he doesn't. He's not an after the catch guy.
Yeah,
he has in some ways turned into a possession receiver. Where like I think Samaje Perine had more yards after the catch than Courtland Sutton did this year. But some of those big plays, I mean, were significant and propelled the Broncos to their winning streak. But again, I don't know how Sean views it. You know, I don't know how Sean. I mean, Sean's viewed guys like Michael Thomas and guys like that. When he looks at Courtland Sutton, does he see the goods enough to open the wallet of the franchise?
Well, we'll put this on your radar, too. Who was the only one that knew what was going on with Russ?
Courtland.
Courtland and Russ have a really good relationship. Sean knows that. Does Sean want somebody like that in the building that really was for Russ and really believed in Russ? And Courtland's the type of guy that he's not going to be quiet if he doesn't feel good about something. Courtland's going to let you know, but also he's going to handle his business on that field. He's also going to bring the energy on that field and handle business on the field and deal with business off the field. And I don't know how well the relationship is with Sean in court.
So if I had to guess, I don't think the relationship right now is in a great place.
Hmm.
And here's my hypothesis, okay? And I don't know this. It's an educated guess, but it is still a guess. Why do we know this? Why do we know this information today? We didn't know it yesterday. Phil, swear to God, I didn't know voluntary workout started yesterday. We didn't even mention it on the show.
You're right.
So why do we know this? Why is Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network reporting that Sutton did not report yesterday? If that wasn't reported, it wouldn't be a story.
That's easy, because the agent wants it out there. Because yes. Courtland yes. wants it out there.
Exactly.
We used to do it.
I know. That's the way of this landscape. Listen to the tone of Pelissero's tweet. You tell me who its perspective it's coming from.
All right.
Courtland Sutton did not report yesterday for voluntary workouts as he seeks a new contract. Now it's being reported he wants a new deal, right? Sutton is going on his 10th starting quarterback in 7 seasons. And only has $2 million left on his deal. He had 10 touchdowns in 2023 while ranking 56th in targets, end quote. He's painting the Courtland Sutton story.
Yes.
Because Pelissero is getting it from either Courtland himself or more likely his agent.
For sure his agent.
So if I were to guess, my hypothesis is a guy who already said goodbye to the franchise, or the fan base in a roundabout way on Instagram, changed his Twitter bio to what's next, and now it's like, so it's being reported from Pelissero from his side of the story. So if I had to guess, I'm sure the relationship it's not like toxic or poisonous, but it's there's a disconnect currently.
Well, it's just business at this point, right? It's business. It's about what's going to be best for me, what's going to be best for you. I don't care what's best for you. Just make sure I'm okay and I'm taken care of. All right, you give me the money that I went out there and put in work for, the 10 touchdowns. You give me the money for that, you know. But Sean holds all the leverage,
right?
And saying, look,
right,
I'm not giving a dime because we're not going anywhere anymore. All right, we don't know who our quarterback's going to be. It's going to be Spencer Rattler at this time.
Better not be.
But so it's like, why would I give you a bunch of money?
Yeah.
When we don't even know what we're doing at the quarterback position, and also what we're going to be this year, we don't know. So I'm not going to have somebody that's older just on the team if we're going to gut this place out. Plus, I may trade you.
Right.
And I'm going to let them decide, whoever I give you up to, I guess, who wants to pay you.
What a new wrinkle in this entire thing. And we probably, if we talked it out and got to this point of like, does Courtland show up? Because this is voluntary workouts. Okay, so here's my question now. How long does he stay away from the Broncos?
The whole time. Zach, I'm telling you, nobody wants to go to offseason workouts. It does not matter. Courtland has already been in the league for a while. Courtland has been in his system already 1 year. He doesn't have to show up. He's still working out. Honestly,
what do you think Sean thinks about that?
Sean don't care.
You don't think so?
No.
See, I think he does.
See,
I disagree with
Sean
that one.
Sean doesn't care right now. Now, maybe later on when things are kind of getting to the nitty-gritty, it's like, okay, we're going to need you to show up.
Yeah.
But right now, Zach, truly nothing is going on.
I understand.
He doesn't care.
Why is Bowles there then?
Bowles?
Do you think Sean
has a different approach?
That? Oh, yes, I like that. I like that.
He has a different approach. Garrett Bowles is probably going at it as, look, I'm showing up, okay? I'm going to do my thing, and I'm just going to put it in God's hands, and I'm going to do things the right way, where now, like you said, Sean's looking at me like, I'm doing everything right. So if it's up to Courtland or Garrett, but I thought of that tactic too. When I was with Elway, my tactic was, okay, I'm going to show up. Because when they decided to put the second round tender on me and give Melvin that money, I could have just said, you know what, I don't want to go. And I almost did. But I said, you know what, I'm going to show a different side. It still didn't get me anywhere.
Right.
You know, because I guess it depends on who's the coach and who's the GM. And how they truly feel about you. I don't know how they feel about Courtland or Garrett, but I'll tell you this, Garrett's probably more of an impact on that team right now than Courtland because Garrett's a left tackle.
Yeah, I agree. But here's the thing. Let's say they draft a quarterback in 9 days.
Yeah.
Don't you want your number one receiver around to work with him?
Well, do they view him as a number one?
He worked out for
Russ, but does Sean view him as a number one?
No, I don't think a big boy number one. I don't think an NFL like a bona fide number one.
So then why would Sean pay him like a number one?
Because he's the best you got.
Sean don't care. Sean does not care right now.
See, I disagree. And because I think Sean takes everything personal.
Okay.
I think he's keeping score of everything. And when you were talking about Bowles, that Bowles did show up yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And he's in a contract year, and he's got zero guaranteed.
Zero.
Courtland Sutton still has $2 million guaranteed, and I know for him, he wants more. That's not a lot. Okay. But when you were describing Bowles, you said Bowles wants to go about it the right way. You kind of said
that. Yeah, I'm not going to say the right way, because I don't know what's
because
the right
I saw
way.
Your
I
face.
Thought I was going to the right way.
Because I saw
I'm
your
like,
face when you said that.
Wasn't the right way? Like everybody's way is right to them if they get the job done.
Now, what if Sean's the judge? Do you think he thinks Bowles is going about it the right way?
I like, for me, it's like, Sean, you don't do a lot of stuff the right way. So I don't know in your sick head what's right to you. Like, he might have like this like sick fantasy where it's like he wants to be dominant. So he's like, I want you to show up. Like, what?
I'm asking you to guess. Because if I were to guess, just the very limited 1 year of covering Sean Payton, I do think he looks at Bowles and says, he's doing it the right way. And if that's true, and you already tried to trade Courtland, and you don't view him as a true number one, and he's acting like one.
Yeah.
If you're Sean, I'm putting myself in Sean's boots. Courtland Sutton's one of my favorite Broncos since I moved here.
Yeah.
Big fan. But if you're Sean, I think he's keeping score of everything. And I think Sean's maniacal. And I think Sean's egotistical. And egotistical people are very easily offended. And I think that
I agree.
And I think
agree.
That those are the dynamics over there at Dove Valley. And I do not think. I don't think this is some...
No, I see, this is the thing, though, Zach. I think that Sean's thankful that Garrett's doing this because that's what Garrett is. That's in Garrett's heart. I think that Sean needs Garrett more than Garrett needs Sean right now because it's hard to find a left tackle. I'm telling you that right now.
Sure. So if anyone has a right to step away, it's Bowles.
It probably would be Bowles. But Garrett wants to do it the way he thinks is right for him. That he thinks is right for him. No, like that he thinks is right for him.
Yeah.
And Sean's happy for that.
Yeah. Here's what I think. I don't think this is a huge deal right now.
Yeah.
But considering we already know the dynamics, they tried to trade him already. He goes out and has one of his best seasons. He says goodbye to the fans. He changes the bio to what's next. I think he's looking ahead. And I think that this only just adds a layer. It's not some huge deal. But given the context and background to the landscape that already exists, I just don't think this helps. And I think this divides Sutton and Sean Payton specifically.
But we don't know. Maybe that's what Courtland wants.
Yes.
Maybe it's like,
I agree.
I'm not going to be a bad guy. I'm not going to put out there that I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. There's ways to make it seem like I want to be here when I really don't.
Yeah.
And I put it in Sean's hands now. Now Sean looks like the bad guy saying, hey, I want to be here, but you have to pay me. In reality, I know you're not going to pay me, so get me up out of here.
Right.
But it's on you now. And now everybody that knows what's going on thinks you're the reason why I'm not here anymore. And I'm going to be the good guy. I have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
Should Courtland Sutton get paid?
What does paid look like? Because he signed.
I know.
This is, you know.
This is where you get mad a little bit.
Yeah, at George Payton. Because, and we don't have enough time to really reset it, but he signed him to a $61 million contract, dude.
42 guaranteed, right?
35.
35 guaranteed?
$35 million guaranteed. And you had already drafted Judy. When they paid him, you drafted Judy. And they circled back and paid Tim Patrick on the same weekend.
They did.
And next thing you know, you have the highest paid wide receiver room in the sport.
Yeah.
And this is why when my criticisms of George Payton are so real, with like real criticism, real, like tangible stuff we can draw from.
We don't know what Courtland's contract wants or what he wants, but obviously he wants something a little hefty.
Let's guess. Really all that matters is the years and the guaranteed money, or really the guaranteed money.
He's going to want a 3-year deal. Okay, the third year is probably not going to be guaranteed. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He wants 2 years that he's here guaranteed.
And I bet it's he wants $16 million guaranteed.
16?
Yeah, I'm totally spitballing. Yeah.
I'm thinking more of he's thinking like, I just got 10 touchdowns for you. I'm your best receiver. I want 3 years, something like $25 million, and let's just go 30. Three years, $30 million, 20 guaranteed. 10 each year.
That could very, very well be the case. So that's what we're moving forward with?
Yeah. $30 million, 3 years, 25 guaranteed, because you always want to kind of try to set you over.
Let's keep it at 20. Let's keep it at 20
million.
Make
it easy? 20.
3 for $30 with 20 guaranteed.
Yeah.
No.
You going to let him move?
I am. It's a new day in Denver. It's time to turn the page. And I have loved Courtland Sutton. He has been fantastic. But we have I'm going to say injury history.
You
I know you don't like that. I know you don't like that. But really, Courtland Sutton has had two awesome seasons here in Denver. Two of them.
Okay.
One was last year. The other one was a half decade ago.
So then I'm going to leave you with this, and I'm done.
No, you're not done, because I'm asking you the same question.
Oh, hey. Is Courtland Sutton going to be here as a Denver Bronco?
When?
After the draft.
No.
Hmm.
Would you pay him?
No.
3 years, $30 million, 20 guaranteed.
No. I'm not paying Courtland again. We don't have a good team. I'm getting this out. If I'm going to do it, I'm doing it right. I told you that. I'm doing this right. We're going to be young then. I'm going to give us the best chance to get more draft capital for next year, but I'm going to groom these other young men, find some other ones that are cheap, because I'm not giving up a lot of money for a team that I don't think is going to do well. So Courtland's going to have to move on, and I'm going to use him as trade bait.
Yep.
Courtland Sutton will be here. Okay, he will be here after the draft. But he won't be here in the middle of the season. He's gonna get traded during the middle of the season.
I could definitely see that as well. So he's coming back, and the Broncos aren't paying him.
Oh, he's gonna still play. You know, you can only hold out for so long.
How long will he hold out?
He'll hold out until he starts getting fined.
Okay.
Until the season starts, and once the season starts,
Person
starts with like $50,000, then goes to $75,000, and then all of a sudden you're paying $100,000 every time you're not in that building. But see, if I'm smart, if I'm Courtland, I'm showing up to a building like Deshaun Watson was doing. I'm just not going to be on that field.
Interesting. Like they call it a hold in nowadays.
I'm holding in.
What a juicy little subplot of the Broncos season that started yesterday that we learned about this morning from Tom Pelissero. Courtland Sutton not reporting, and it's because he wants a new contract. We'll see if that comes to fruition here. This thing could be resolved in the next 10 days.
Yeah.
It could be resolved. It could be 6 months from now during the season, you know, like you said. So, all right. This spring, Phil and I are hitting the streets. We're taking the show on the road. It's the Dry's Brouhaha. Our first step is in Edgewater at Edgewater Beer Garden. We'll be there this Friday, from 2 to 6. Head to denversports.com/drive for more details. We have an update in the Jonte Porter situation that a lot of folks are saying is good news, and I don't think so. We'll pass it along, and I'll tell you why coming up next. All right, let's come off the top rope with it.
One!
All right. First things first, Jonte Porter. All right, we have a Jonte Porter update.
Uh-oh.
Chase Howell of the Action Network says, quote, Toronto Raptors center Jonte Porter owned and operated a VIP account at FanDuel in the state of Colorado that wagered millions of dollars.
Mm.
In total from 2021 through 2023. So over the course of 2 years, all right, well, it could be two and a half up to three, 21, 22, 23. Millions of dollars, multiple sources with direct knowledge told the Action Network, end quote. Now, in some of the articles that I was reading, they're like, thank goodness for Jonte Porter, because with this VIP account that FanDuel had to turn over, never did he bet on NBA basketball.
Okay.
And a lot of people were saying, man, that's great news for Jonte. Yes and no. Yeah, you didn't do the cardinal sin that will get you banned for life. But we don't know the results of the first. This is his FanDuel account in Colorado.
Yeah.
We don't know about the Jonte Porter props debate yet. So people were framing this, and I'm rambling here, but people are framing this as good news. I think it's bad news. Because you are already showing the habits of severe gambling with money that you do not earn. He was making $400,000.
Well, I was going to ask you that. It's like, how is he getting all this money?
He's wagering millions of dollars when he does not make millions of dollars. And that leads me to look at the other situation with the Jonte Porter props that sparked this whole thing. To lead me to believe that that's even more likely that that was him.
But even then, he wasn't making millions off of it. My whole thing is, where is these millions coming from? Because if he's not making the millions, okay, who's giving it to him? I don't know. I don't know how it goes, you know? Like, he could have the money.
Yeah, it's, you know,
their family is pretty well off.
And is some of Jonte's money coming from his brother? certainly wouldn't be the first time. Yeah, you just signed $100 million contracts. You take care of your brothers and said whatever. And I just, my thing is if you're showing the ability to gamble millions of dollars when you don't make millions,
crazy,
and either someone's giving it to you or you're like betting money to try to make money, like literally make it, it just for me makes it even more likely that he got himself in some real trouble.
Oh yeah,
real trouble with his betting on his own self, because if you're gambling money you don't have, you get down, you might do some desperate things.
Gambling at it. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. Yep. And we'll see, but I feel like this has an ugly turn coming up in the coming months. We'll see. That's just a guess.
1, 2.
All right. How about this? Last night, WNBA draft. We talked about it yesterday.
Yep.
And we predicted what the numbers would be. We knew last year's WNBA draft did 572,000 viewers. What do you think it did last night? What were the guesses that we gave Kamaji? Because I know you wrote them down.
All right, Phil, you had 2 million. Zach had 2.4. Drew had 3.2. And I just lost my mind and went with 4.4.
You went crazy. You went crazy.
All right, so we have the results. What kind of viewership did the WNBA draft do with Caitlin Clark?
All right, boys, I'll give you a little context here real quick. Now, with the NFL draft in last year, it had 54 million people, okay? It averaged 6 million per day.
That is hilarious. Okay.
That is
not
crazy.
A down of football was played.
No.
But 54 million people, mm-hmm, holy smokes.
Just watch the TV screen go, ding,
exactly,
ding, ding, ding.
Exactly.
For most names that they don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The NHL draft, 681,000. The MLB draft, 744,000. The NBA draft, 3.7 million.
Oh, damn. So the NBA just kills non-NFL. They kill...
Yeah. I mean, people know those people. Like, I mean, I'm a big hockey guy, and I don't know most of the people in the NHL draft.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. So the WNBA last night, Zach nailed it. 2.4 million people.
Oh, I got it on the nose.
On the nose.
Oh, damn. God, I'll take a little victory lap.
First, he went, let me go first, and then just decided to up one me for a little while. Like, 2.4.
Dude, nailed it on the nose.
Hey, does it hurt to be a degenerate?
Wow. It went from 572,000 people to 2.4 million. What is that, like a multiple of five or something like that?
Yeah.
Wow, so 5X'd year over year.
Man.
All right, they said in just 1 hour, Fanatics completely sold out of Caitlin Clark's Indiana Fever jersey. In fact, according to Darren Rovell, who covers the business world of sports, it broke the Fanatics draft night record. Think of Zion, Joe Burrow. It was actually Trevor Lawrence who had the record. Caitlin Clark jersey sales the night of the draft surpassed Trevor Lawrence for the most ever on draft night. Crazy.
You know what? Good for her, because you see her contract after she got drafted number one overall.
Let's put a pin in that.
Okay.
Because I
was like, what?
I want to talk about that with you here in just a couple minutes. Until then, we'll keep moving.
1, 2, 3.
Hey, how about this up in Boulder? Now, there's a lot of transfers leaving the Colorado program. All right, the spring portal is officially open. Guys are leaving left and right.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm sure guys will be coming in left and right. But the name that stuck out is former five-star recruit Cormani McClain, who this was a huge story a year ago. He had committed to Miami, and then he was flirting with Dion. The Miami coaching staff, the whole Hurricane staff, showed up at his high school just to find out he was already in the air on his way to Boulder.
Yeah, that's wild.
They gravel at these young man's feet, right? He's a teenager. He's a boy. And all that happened is he didn't get on the field for CU.
Mm.
This was supposed to be, they said, the most pro-ready prospect, and now he's transferring out of the program.
Yeah. Look, you know how I feel about this transfer portal stuff, Zach. I mean, there's no stability, okay, for either people, because it's like, of course you want to get your money, but you don't get your money, or you do get your money. Like, there's an offensive tackle that continues to get into the transfer portal. It's getting money from teams and transferring out. I kid you not. Go look it up. Like, it's just, it's a crazy thing going on in this transfer portal right now. And to me, I don't know, man. It just gives people a way out. How are these kids supposed to learn about hard times, buying time, being patient, getting through things, pushing through? Somebody may be in front of you right now, and then that next year you work so hard that you beat them out. There's none of that anymore. These kids, man, we're doomed, I feel like. I feel like these kids are doomed.
Well, we'll keep track of Cormani McClain, where he ends up.
Yeah.
Most likely result is he goes to one of the schools that recruited him out of high school.
Yeah, or back by home.
But I'm curious, does this kid, like, jump on a podcast here in the next, like, 3 or 4 days and, like, tell his side of the story why he didn't play as such a highly touted recruit? Deion knows cornerbacks pretty good.
He does.
And he said that, you know, this guy wasn't ready to play and was actually critical of him during the season. Like, he's not all the way that he's, like, he doesn't... Yeah. Like, I guess he was, I think one time he was, like, maybe late for practice. Yeah. Or, you know, really, like...
He's a baby, which is okay. You're not supposed to play right away. If you're playing right away as a freshman, that means your juniors and seniors are not good. Like, that's kind of what it means in college.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really want your freshmen to have to play unless they really have to.
Right, true freshman, that's rare. I mean, I think you're spot on.
It's supposed to be rare, you know. But also, I seen Prime, you know, he had huddled all his guys up and, like, let everybody know, hey... You can jump in the treasure portal because you guys know what time it is. Either you guys are with me or you're not. You know, jump in or jump out. But the treasure portal is open for us. So I thought that was interesting before practice to say.
Wow. We got to circle back to this, too. We have to circle back to the transient nature of not just college football, but the way that Deion is branding Colorado as come and go. And that's how it's being branded, through the portal. Yeah. I think it's really interesting. I want to circle back to it. It's the Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips. It's back. And this time we're sending one lucky listener and a friend to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. Here's what you get. 2 tickets to the game. Round trip airfare for you and a friend. All right. To a destination to be determined. 2 nights hotel stay. $500. All because you went to denversports.com/the Fan Flyaway and registered, and you also claimed your special offer from Sport Clips. Those of you who previously entered a Fan Flyaway contest, good news, you're already part of the club and will be entered into this one. Once you sign up, you're entered into for all future Fan Flyaway contests. Again, head to denversports.com/the Fan Flyaway. As we shift gears here, if the Broncos don't love a quarterback in the first round, what does history say about picking a player 12th overall? That's coming up next. Some old school Usher, huh? Right?
It's my song.
This is what you do. Come along
with your name. Oh, it's like God. Summertime. Summer, I love summer.
Oh,
spring needs to hurry
up. Yeah, yeah. God, I haven't heard that song in many years. Comes right back, though. Hey, if the Broncos don't love a quarterback in the first round, what does history say about picking a player 12th overall? The history of it. For a quarterback, you might be in no man's land.
Mm.
But for just a damn good football player... Man, some of those quarterbacks just push these guys down. Here are some names that have been drafted 12th overall in the NFL draft. See you, Buffalo's coach, Warren Sapp. Is old Warren still looking for a place to sleep?
I don't know. I think he has a house by now, or he's either in the dorm room. At Coach Prime's house.
Keep him out of the dorms. You don't get to sleep in the dorms.
Coach Prime's house. Or maybe the car. I don't know, but he's somewhere.
He's somewhere. All right. Warren Sapp was picked 12th overall in 1995 by the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Okay.
Damn good player. Hall of Famer.
Really, really good player, man. Hall of Famer.
Do you know where he played in college?
Miami.
You know?
Everybody wanted to go to the U.
Yes. Throw up the U. You know who is at Miami that played the same position and waited his turn to play? And then thought he was going to play.
Yeah.
And then Warren Sapp stepped on campus.
Oh, yeah. I know. Can you smell what the Rock
yes.
is cooking? You know he went on a podcast. Warren Sapp went on a podcast and, like, kind of blasted the Rock for that.
What do you mean?
He was just, like, talking about how, like, you would have to watch it, but it was like trying to kind of talk about, because The Rock had one side of the story, he had the other side of the story, and it was more like, that's not what happened.
Okay.
Kind of with The Rock situation. It was like, that's not all that what happened with that situation with The Rock.
Interesting.
Yeah, you'll have to go back in and look at it.
Yeah, I will. You know, The Rock, a lot of his phrases that he ended up using into a microphone in wrestling, he learned at Miami from a positional coach. And you know who it was? Ed Orgeron from LSU. Go Tigers.
Yeah.
Go Tigers. He was like, get over here, you jabroni. And Rock would hear all this. And you know what one of them was? Know your role and shut your mouth, freshman. And then Rock, 20 years later, is, know your role and shut your mouth. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is.
Jabroni.
Looking at the history of picking 12th overall, Warren Sapp, 1995, Hall of Famer. How about Warrick Dunn to the same Buccaneers in 1997, picked 12th overall.
Dunn.
Hell of a career.
Yes.
Sean Merriman.
Okay.
Fantastic player for the Chargers.
Crazy.
Haloti Ngata.
Okay.
Was picked 12th overall in 2006. Marshawn Lynch was picked 12th overall in 2007. Broncos legendary offensive tackle Ryan Clady was picked 12th overall in 2008. No Sean Moreno. Friend of the fan, friend of mine, great dude. 2009, picked 12th overall, had a really awesome 5-year stretch with the Broncos.
No Sean was a bad dude, especially in college.
No question. He was just an animal at Georgia. And he went on to score like 26, 27 touchdowns for the Broncos.
He was good, man.
He did his thing.
Literally, if you go watch his highlights, it's like, wow, you forget about it, but No'Shawn was solid, man.
Yeah, he really was. 12th overall pick, once upon a time, back in 2009. Fletcher Cox was the 12th overall pick in 2012.
To the Eagles, right?
Yep.
He just retired.
Hall of Fame player.
Hall of Fame.
He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. A guy who in 2014, picked 12th overall, was off to the best 4-year start until Justin Jefferson came along. Now, it didn't continue, but the best 4-year start at the wide receiver position in NFL history at that moment was picked 12th overall, Odell Beckham Jr. You know, we forget as the years have gone by just how good OBJ was in his first 4 years. Just an absolute animal. Go look up the numbers. It's insane. 12th overall pick. Now, I know this guy does play quarterback, but I just wanted to mention Deshaun Watson was the 12th overall pick back in 2017. Your boy from the Pac-12. Vita Vea.
Oh, Vita.
Absolute animal inside. Absolute animal.
Yeah, that dude is a beast. He is a beast.
And you played against him in college and in the NFL.
College, the NFL, good dude.
Yeah?
Good dude, but not on the field. He's going to eat you up.
How about in 2021? You know who's picked 12th overall in 2021? Micah Parsons. Absolute animal.
Micah, he's trying to get a contract. They don't want to give it to him.
Could be a Hall of Fame player. I mean, seeing is believing. The guy is just a dynamo. So, if they're not in love with anyone, I just want to put that in our back pocket. A guy like Brock Bowers, maybe he's a part of this list in a couple years. Don't know. All right, sports fans across the country for the last month have been asking the same question, and I think we're starting to get an answer. That's coming up next.
Has a new dynamic duo been born in Denver?
This is on Twitch. Stokely and Josh, the best duo since Joker and Murray. Not sure who Joker is, though.
Well, that would be Lee, of course.
Yeah. Right, yeah. yeah.